top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Tuesday, February 27th, 2024. In the headlines,
top of the hour.
Dominica Freedom Party President Johnson Boston contends that the current skirt-led DLP government is among the least fevered administrations in the history of Dominica.
95DA.com.
The Guyana government has pledged $2 million to the Regional Adaptation Fund in recognition of the Caribbean community's vulnerability to climate change impacts. And a close ally of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny stated on Monday that Navalny's death was prompted by his imminent release in a prison swap that President Vladimir Putin could not accept.
5DA.com. Right on.
Details coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston, highlighted that a significant portion of the population is opposed to the skirt-led DLP government, emphasizing the need to mobilize voters for the country's next electoral process. He pointed out that the current Dominica Labour Party government is regarded as one of the least effective administrations in Dominica's history.
There are more Dominicans in Dominica who are against this government than for this government. Remember, they have to depend on voters from outside, voluntarists, brothers and sisters, to be elected in government. So it tells you that this is one of the most unpopular governments we have ever had in this country. And this is why they are afraid all the time. Just announced a meeting of the opposition groups, and they're afraid they trample you. You get power sucked from the Commissioner of Police. But we have some good police officers who understand clearly that Dominica is for us, all of us, and we have a democracy, and we ought not to be afraid to exercise our right. They're seeking cabinet for themselves.
Boston contends that many initiatives pursued by the present DLP administration primarily serve as their own interest rather than that of the Dominican people, including initiatives related to healthcare and economic advancement.
I heard there was a cabinet meeting last week. You know what they were doing? They were discussing to shift those people at the ministry to the building next to the credit union. That's what they were discussing. And you imagine, brothers and sisters, our hospital is under struggle. They said our elderly will get free medical care. Our very young will get free medical care. Where is this? But they're discussing to rent that building next to the credit union for $1 million a month. $1 million a month. So they're sitting in our cabinet, looking after themselves, renting their property for themselves, while our country is going down. Boston, they owe the UN, they owe everybody, they owe the drug procurement officials in Ocean. So they owe all about the place, but they're not owing themselves, because, brothers and sisters, they are in need for themselves.
And that was Johnson Boston, president of the Dominica Freedom Party. Following the conclusion of round two debates in the inter-secondary schools debating competition held on February 22nd and 23rd, four schools have emerged as contenders for the semi-final round scheduled for March 18th, 2024. the Isaiah Thomas Secondary School, the St. Mary's Academy, the Orion Academy, and the Arthur Waldron SDA Academy have all secured their places in the next stage of the competition. Trudy Christian serves as the organizer of the Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition.
At the end of the round two debates, which took place last week, of the Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition, four schools have secured a position in the semifinals, which are to take place on March 18th. The Isaiah Thomas Secondary School, the St. Mary's Academy, the Orion Academy, and the Arthur Waldron SDA Academy have all secured a spot in the semifinals. In the round two debates, the ITSS emerged victorious against the Dominica Grammar School, and from the ITSS, Miss Amelia Charles was adjudged as best speaker. She was accompanied by Miss Joannelle Sarah, and they were the winning team from the ITSS in their debate. The debate between the St. Mary's Academy and the Arthur Waldron SDA Academy saw the St. Mary's Academy emerge victorious, represented by Noah Sarendo and Jelani Shillingford. Mr. Noah Sarendo was adjudged best speaker, and they were represented by Diamond Daniel and Ejadi Maxwell. Diamond Daniel was judged best speaker. The Arthur Waldron SDA Academy was the top scoring runner-up, and so they too are also in the semifinals.
The Isaiah Thomas Secondary School is set to compete against the Orion Academy, while the St. Mary's Academy will face off against the Arthur Waldron SDA Academy in the upcoming rounds of the competition.
So on March 18th, these four schools will compete. The ITSS will compete against the Orion Academy, and the St. Mary's Academy will go up against, once again, the Arthur Waldron SDA Academy to see who will make it to the last round, the final round of the competition, which will be in April. So the semifinals are carded for March 18th, and it will include four secondary schools on island. The Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition is sponsored by Josephine Gabriel and Company Limited, Lindomart, Fine Foods Inc., KFC Division, Q95 FM Radio, DBS Radio, Dominica News Online, Dr. Joshua Lloyd and Mrs. Corinthia Joseph Lloyd, as well as a host of other sponsors contributing prizes towards our students at each round of competition.
Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition organizer Trudy Christian. Founder Franklin Coffey, a representative of the World Rivers Day Committee, expressed satisfaction with the initiatives being undertaken by various 4-H clubs across Dominica in preparation for the inaugural 2024 Day of Action for Rivers, themed Water for All. He highlighted the involvement of several schools on the island in conducting activities to mark this occasion, citing the island-wide cleanup coordinated by the Dominica State College Environmental Club as a significant contribution towards setting the stage for the upcoming event.
We have challenged the 4-H clubs in Dominica. I must say I'm very, very pleased with what they are coming up with for International Day of Action for Rivers. This is the 27th anniversary of International Day of Rivers, and it is the first time we are going to be observing that day in Dominica. I'm very impressed with the 5-day program which the St. Luke's School 4-H clubs have come up with. The Dominica Community High School will be hiking the rivers. The grammar school are having a jingle, which I think was launched last Friday. And they will be giving prizes to the best jingles. And we, as a group, will be offering the second and third prize as well. Now, we can say that after this past weekend, the State College Environment Clubs had an island-wide cleanup. I must say I was very, very impressed with that cleanup. Clean all our beaches from Laplin, Cassipros, Granby, Soufriere, Waterfield, etc., etc. Because of that national cleanup, we are now set. You know, we are in the last stage, 16 more days for Day of Action for Rivers. And the theme, international theme, is Water for All.
Father Coffey emphasized the ongoing need for Dominican citizens to contribute to the protection and preservation of the country's rivers, which are instrumental in branding Dominica as land of 365 rivers.
But left to me, my theme would have been, where have all our rivers gone? We talk about Nature Island, we talk about 365 rivers. And I got the shock of my life from my home in Belfast. For the first time, the Belfast River looked very dry, you know, and I guess it's a rallying call for all our rivers. So I'm very impressed with the Environment Club of the State College, and I'm looking forward to working with them for International Day of Action for our rivers. They are committed. I mean, just look at the photos on your Facebook and we'll have you. So I want to say thank you to the State College. Thank you to St. Luke's School and all the other schools who are committed to that. So we appeal to our listeners, you know, support the alma mater, in the 4-H clubs of your alma mater. We need to mention SMA. We have 250 students in the 4-H club in grammar school. Unfortunately, on day two, are having some activities, you know, in the coming weeks.
And that was the World Rivers Day Committee representative, Father Franklin Coffey. Acting Prime Minister of Dominica, Dr. Irvin McIntyre, extended a warm welcome to His Excellency Roger F. Nias, newly appointed Ambassador of the United States of the Eastern Caribbean, during his visit on Monday. Ambassador Nias had earlier presented his credentials to Dominica's President, Her Excellency Sylvanie Burton, affirming his commitment to fostering a strong partnership between the two countries. In his remarks, Ambassador Nias emphasized the enduring collaboration between the United States and Dominica, reflecting shared values and a joint effort to address the common challenges. Dr. McIntyre, representing Prime Minister Roosevelt's court, conveyed the best wishes for Ambassador Nias' successful tenure and expressed Dominica's readiness to further collaborate with the United States for mutual development. This occasion marks another milestone in the long-standing diplomatic relations between Dominica and the United States, which were established in 1978. Opposition Senator Lorraine Henderson Reed, following discussions with Dominican citizens, particularly the youth, says she observed a prevalent disenchantment and opposition to the DLP administration. She emphasized the need for unity among opposition forces to drive significant change and advance the development of Dominica. Reid asserts that unity is crucial for the removal of the Dominica Labour Party from government and for achieving progress for the nation.
I can stand here proudly and say there are more people against this government than for this government. That is a fact. I speak to the young people every day. I maybe look like a therapist, people like to speak to me. So there are more people against this government than for this government. But we have a little issue, you know, because we are among ourselves, we cannot jittery. We not together. So we need to be united. There's more of us than them. But we too divided, we need to unite ourselves. Yes. Because we need to look at our common goal, which is to get this government out. Yes. Now, if we want to get the government out, we cannot do it by fighting among ourselves. We have to come together. We are stronger together. So we must unite to get them out. So end goal is to get them out. And for us to get them out, we must unite. Yes, we must unite.
Senator Reed voiced her concern over the plight of international students in universities overseas, noting the government's persistent failure to cover their tuition fees as promised. She urged parents to provide support to students to enable them to contribute to Dominica's development and progress upon completing their studies.
To the students in university, I've seen the press release about the payments and the students scrambling and wondering and worrying. I understand and I feel sorry for them. Students, I don't think they're going to pay. They're not going to pay. So now, those parents out there who are listening, the aunties, the uncles, the cousins, the neighbors who can help, help them. Help them. They will need student loans. We want them to graduate. We need them to come back to work here. So we need you to help them. They need the help. I feel sorry. We need to help them. So, one, we need to help our students. Two, we need to unite. I'm very happy to see all the young people here this evening. So many young people. I'm so happy to see you here. And the numbers are increasing. Our young people are coming out. I know that some are high. They don't want to come out because they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to lose their job.
Yeah.
But listen, if we all, listen, they can afford our entire ministry.
Opposition Senator Lorraine Henderson Reed. In other news, Guyana's government has pledged $2 million US dollars to the Regional Adaptation Fund in acknowledgement of Caribbean's, or that's CARICOM, vulnerability to climate change impacts. Speaking at the opening of the 46th regular summit of CARICOM leaders, President Dr. Mohamed Oufouan Ali reaffirmed Guyana's support for the Bridgetown Initiative led by Barbados Prime Minister Mia Mottley. This initiative seeks to reform the global financial system to facilitate greater private financing for climate transition and resilience building in vulnerable nations. President Ali emphasized Guyana's commitment to investing in regional climate resilient efforts, announcing the allocation of $2 million US dollars from the revenue generated through the sale of carbon credits under Guyana's Low Carbon Development Strategy. This funding originates from Guyana's US $750 million agreement with energy giant Hess Corporation, which involves the annual purchase of 2.5 million carbon credits. In 2023, Guyana received its initial payment of US $150 million from this agreement, with 15%, that's US $22.5 million, allocated to 242 Amerindian, Riverine, and remote communities. These funds supported the implementation of 811 economic and social projects aimed at enhancing resilience and sustainability across the country. And according to a close ally speaking on Monday, a Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny's death was orchestrated as he neared a potential release in a prisoner exchange, a move President Vladimir Putin reportedly couldn't allow. Navalny, age 47, passed away at an Arctic penal colony on February 16th.
A close ally of Russian opposition politician Alexei Navalny says he was close to being freed in a prisoner swap at the time of his death. But the President Vladimir Putin could not tolerate the thoughts of him being released and had him killed. Maria Pevchik's comments on Monday echo accusations by Navalny's family and supporters that President Vladimir Putin had ordered his death. Speaking on YouTube, she said US nationals for Vadim Krasikov, a Russian FSB security service hitman in jail in Germany for murder, were in their final stages at the time of his death.
Alexei Navalny could today, right now, sit in this very place. This is not just a figure of speech. This could have and should have happened. Navalny was supposed to be set free in the coming days because we have had achieved a decision on his exchange.
47-year-old Navalny died at an Arctic penal colony on February 16th. Pevchik said she had confirmation that negotiations for the swap were in their final stages on the evening of February 15th. She alleges Navalny had been killed a day later because Putin could not bear the thought of him being free. There was no immediate comment from the Kremlin, which has denied state involvement in his death. Navalny supporters say his death certificate stated that he died of natural causes. Pevchik is based outside of Russia and has been designated a foreign agent by the country, where authorities accuse her of involvement in an extremist organization. She did not immediately present documentary evidence for her assertion, but did claim that businessman Roman Abramovich had been the one to float the idea to Putin of exchanging Navalny. There was no immediate comment from Abramovich either. Pevchik did not mention Gershkovich, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and Paul Whelan, a former US Marine. Russia accuses both men of espionage, something they deny.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Dominica Freedom Party President Johnson Boston contends that the current Skerrit-led DLP government is among the least favored administrations in the history of Dominica.
Only on Q95.
The Guyana government has pledged $2 million to the Regional Adaptation Fund in recognition of CARICOM's vulnerability to climate change impacts. And a close ally of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny stated on Monday that Navalny's death was prompted by his imminent release in a prisoner swap that President Vladimir Putin could not accept.
And global.
I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and